Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 47 degrees under sunny skies. Today's Wednesday, June 6, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Ocean Beauty Seafoods will not process fish at the company's cannery in Petersburg this summer because of damage from the state ferry Matanuska. The 408-foot passenger ferry crashed into the Ocean Beauty plant on May 7th, gashing the wood and concrete dock and the cannery building. The fish processing company initially said it would still operate the plant this summer, but now says it's a no-go. Tom Sunderland is vice president of marketing with Ocean Beauty.
In order for us to really do a comprehensive assessment of the plant, it's going to take us a little bit more time. We've done a good preliminary round of assessment. We have a good sense of what we think the damage is, but to know for absolute certainty that it's completely safe and that all of the regulatory concerns will be taken care of, that's going to take us a little bit more time.
Sunderland says Ocean Beauty will still run support services for its salmon fishing fleet out of the Petersburg plant.
They'll still be able to get ice there. We'll still be running the office for admin services that the fleet would use, and our tender service won't be changed at all. So for the fishing fleet, there really will be essentially no difference.
The company brings more than 160 workers to process salmon during the summer seasons. A weak pink salmon return in 2010 prompted Ocean Beauty to shut the cannery for 1 year. It was reopened again last summer, and Sunderland says they will be processing again next year. Meanwhile, he says Ocean Beauty does not yet have a good estimate of the damage caused by the ferry.
The engineers have just finishing their reports on it now, and it's going to take a little while after that until we can get all the contractors in there, you know, to figure out what the damage is before we're going to know that.
Pink, sockeye, coho, and chum salmon caught by Ocean Beauty's fishing fleet this summer will be transported by tenders and processed at the company's plant in Excursion Inlet west of Juneau. The company has also made arrangements with some custom processing operations to handle the 2012 catch. The decision leaves Petersburg with only one salmon cannery operating this summer. However, fishery managers are forecasting another weak peak run in 2012. The Marine Highway System has not yet finished its investigation of the accident. However, the Coast Guard last month ruled out a mechanical problem as a cause of the crash. You can see a video shot by a passenger on board the Matanuska during the crash on our website, kcaw.org. Someone's going to have to go up on a tall ladder in the Sitka High gym again. The Sitka Lady Wolves softball team won their third straight small school state title last weekend, their fourth in 8 years, which means it's time for another banner to hang from the gym's rafters. Coach Bob Petruski took a scrappier team to Anchorage than his 2011 squad. Down five seniors from last year, the 2012 Wolves began the season with some rare losses, including one shutout by conference rival Ketchikan.
You know, they were a little grumbly and, you know, not really used to losing, but it's, you know, it's basically we're starting all over again.
The Lady Wolves eventually hit their stride, literally. Petruski modified his offense to take advantage of the speed offered by players like freshman shortstop Sydney Riggs, seniors Johanna Gluth and J.C. Saunders, who missed last year due to an injury, soon developed into power hitters. The leadership gap was plugged by the season-long growth of seniors Jedifei Workman and Bethany Lawrence. The Lady Wolves would arrive at the state tournament as the number one conference seed with an 11-1 record. And with two quick wins, Sitka looked like it was on its way to an easy third title. The Lady Wolves beat Soldotna 12-4 on Friday, and then took down last year's runner-up Homer 12-8 on Saturday morning. There was only one problem. Homer clawed its way back to the finals in the double elimination tournament with a win over Ketchikan. The Lady Mariners looked off when they met Sitka in the championship, Homer's third game of the day. They gave up five runs to the Lady Wolves in the first inning, but Petruski says appearances were deceiving.
I'm thinking, wow, this is great. I'm going to be able to get the whole roster in. You know, everybody's going to play. And Homer just would not go away. It was a lot of be a dink here and a ground ball there and a humpback liner there, and then somebody did a shot, and then, you know, and repeat. And, you know, we were up 7-2 and like 8-3, and then all of a sudden it's 9-8.
That's 9-8 with Homer in the lead midway through the fourth inning. Petruski had his own daughter, Stefania, on the mound, and she was doing yeoman work for the Lady Wolves, but all the breaks seemed to be going toward Homer.
It was almost one of those who's going to bat last sort of a deals. We were the home team, so we're thinking, okay, well, if we get to bat last, we got a good shot.
That strategy wasn't necessary because, as Petruski says, the Sitka girls don't like to lose. In the bottom of the fourth, Sydney Riggs walked and then was doubled home by Lawrence to even the score. Sophomore all-tournament selection Megan Reed batted in Lawrence on a single. Kendall Phippen bunted her way to first, and doubles by Workman and Saunders put Sitka up 13-9. Homer replied with three runs in the sixth, but Sitka capitalized on its speed in the bottom of the inning to put the game just out of reach. Johanna Gluth made it to first on a drop third strike, stole second, and then scored on a throwing error. This ability to score without a hit is one reason Petruski, who considers himself a nice guy, says no one likes him. When Homer took the lead in the game, he says the crowd reacted like the Lady Mariners had won the World Series. With three straight state titles, Petruski says his Lady Wolves have made themselves a target.
People want to win, and right now, Sitka's in the way of that.
Petruski credits much of the success of the Lady Wolves softball team to his coaching staff and to Sitka's junior high feeder program. He says they began conferring about next season almost right away and about how to make room for that third softball banner in the gym. And thanks to KCAW's Sitka Sports for their help with this story. At the moment, the wave height off Cape Edgecombe is 3 feet with a temperature of 47 degrees. We know that because after a year-long outage, the Cape Edgecombe weather buoy is back in business. It also measures wind speed, barometric pressure, and a host of other data. And it's crucial to weather forecasting for Sitka and the surrounding area. Ed Ronco has more on what it means to have the buoy back online and how it got there.
Welcome aboard the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Maple.
This is the bridge of the ship.
Lieutenant Commander Dan Gray is the commanding officer.
Maple is a multi-mission cutter buoy tender. Work and aids navigation is our primary mission.
The ship tends to 122 lights on shore, 55 floating buoys, and they have regular maintenance schedules for all of them. And then?
And then from time to time, one decides that it's not happy where it is and wants to get underway, and we have to go track it down like a... almost like a shepherd.
Among the Maple's flock, the Cape Edgecombe buoy is the mischievous one.
About 3 years ago when I first got here, it was actually, it broke its mooring and went ashore up in, off of Yakutat.
Oh, wow.
So if it's not sending in a signal, it's hard to even know if it's there.
Gray says the unofficial policy for the Edgecombe buoy is that it requires major work, perhaps even replacement, about once a year. This year, it was a complete replacement. The Maple picked up a replacement buoy in Washington State and then swapped them out. Gray says the work requires calm seas, which makes it almost impossible to do in the winter.
It was down for about a year.
That is Tom Ainsworth, the meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service office in Juneau. Around there, they call the Cape Edgecombe buoy number 84.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The old, they're all numbered out there, so we kind of... easier sometimes to shout across the room the number than the name of the buoy. So.
Ainsworth says without number 84, there was a big hole in tracking Southeast Alaska's notoriously brutal winter weather. High winds, big seas, and sudden rainstorms are the norm around here. And Ainsworth says his staff spent the winter relying on substitutes, like observations from ships in the area.
There's a lot of pieces that go into building the puzzle picture of weather and weather forecasting, and without the Cape Edgecombe buoy, we really missed quite a few of those pieces for a long period of time.
He says getting the buoy back in place was no small task.
It's a great team effort with the Coast Guard and getting these things back, working arrangements, so it takes a lot of people and a lot of time to get them back working again, but when they do, there's a lot of smiles back on the forecasters for having more information at their hands again.
Let's go back aboard the Maple.
And this is the buoy deck.
It's a huge platform in the middle of the ship where buoys are loaded and unloaded out at sea. Gray says this is where the tough work happens.
If you're watching from the bridge, it's nice and enclosed on the bridge. It's nice and warm and very safe. Your point of view down here might be much different if you're working a buoy. You're rocking and rolling. You're in 20 knots of wind. It might be raining or snowing on you, and those buoys look exponentially bigger when you're standing next to it, and it's moving.
Gray says a weather buoy is especially difficult to work with because once it's in the water, a crew has to get in a smaller boat 35 miles out at sea, board the buoy, and make sure the instruments are working. He also says, though, that the Edgecombe buoy is crucial to mariners and to weather forecasters, and that helping to put it back into service and the ship's other missions are what makes his job rewarding.
I see people at the grocery store, and I know they want that NOAA buoy up and running. I know it's a tangible result for me. I see that we've done work, search and rescue. When you help a distressed mariner, that's a tangible result, and that's a job well done. That's very satisfying for the crew.
Aboard the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Maple, docked in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Mother Nature put on a show near Anchorage yesterday, and it had nothing to do with Venus. The largest boar tide of the summer arrived in Turnagain Arm last evening, drawing hundreds of people to highway pullouts south of Anchorage. It also drew a few surfers and kayakers, hoping to take advantage of a real wave in the inlet. One of those surfers was Sue Ives of Anchorage. She says it was a pretty great ride. The boar tide is a true tidal wave caused by the tide and the gravitational influence of the sun and moon. All those aligned last night in Turnagain Arm, just south of Anchorage, for an impressive show. Three men looking for a better view, however, got stuck on rocks when the tide came in. The Anchorage Fire Department had to deploy a boat to rescue them. So in weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander, calls for partly cloudy skies, highs around 57, northeast winds 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 46 with light winds. Thursday, showers likely, highs around 53, west winds 10 miles per hour. And Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, highs around 54. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Have a great day.